This is Maryland Morning with Sheila Cast. I'm Nathan Sterner. When it's not pouring down snow, winter can be one of the best times of the year for stargazing. So when this storm is over, you should huddle with some hot chocolate in your backyard and look up. One person who does that a lot is Dan Coe. He's an astronomer with the Space Telescope Science Institute. I talked with him in early 2013 about a technique he uses to see distant galaxies. That technique is called gravitational lensing.
Right, so we're actually using two telescopes, if you will, to discover these most distant galaxies. So we're combining the power of the Hubble telescope with these cosmic telescopes. So we're observing clusters of galaxies, which are some of the largest structures yet to form in the history of the universe. And they're made up of hundreds or maybe even a thousand or so galaxies. And they also have a lot of the stuff called dark matter, which we don't know yet what it is, but it makes up some 99% or so of the mass in these clusters of galaxies.
And it's heavy.
And it's very heavy. And so with all that mass, what it does is it bends space and time, according to Einstein's theory of relativity. And light from galaxies that are more distant follows these curvatures in space-time to us. And so we see distorted images, we see magnified images, we can even see multiple images of these galaxies that are more distant.
So there's this big blob of mass, much of it we don't know exactly what is. The light is coming to it from the other side or from near it, and it sort of moves around this big mass and gets bigger. And that's what you can see, the light that's been enhanced by this blob that we don't know what is.
That's right. So we really need a really good alignment between us, or the Hubble telescope, if you will, the cluster of galaxies, and then these galaxies that are right behind them. And when we have that great alignment, then we observe these really magnified images, and it helps us more efficiently discover the most distant galaxies.
But then you have to figure out exactly what you're seeing and how much it's been changed by the lensing, by the magnification, by the blob.
That's right. So it's like a big puzzle. We can't see the dark matter, but we can figure out where it is to some degree based on this lensing. And so we basically have to figure out how to put all the dark matter in all the right places in order to lens these images to where we see them.
So there's still some question about exactly what the scale is of what you're seeing.
That's right. And the dark matter, for the most part, the visible light that we see traces out where the dark matter is. And so that gives us another clue as to where it is.
And what you're seeing, the light from the galaxies that's been lensed by this dark matter, helps you figure out exactly how much of the dark matter is there.
That's right. So the deflections of the light that we see tell us how much of the dark matter is there. And it's actually similar to when you look through a glass of wine, for example. If you look at a candle through the base of a wine glass, you can see distorted images of the candle. You can even see multiple images of it. And that's very similar to what we see in this gravitational lensing. So if you look at these lensed images, that can tell you something about the shape of the wine glass and how strong a lens it is. And we do something very similar with the gravitational lensing, is we analyze that and we determine how much dark matter is there. And the more dark matter and the more mass that's there, the stronger this lensing effect. And that's how we map out the dark matter.
So what have you been able to determine about the galaxy that you've seen that's been lensed by this dark matter?
So we discovered a candidate for the most distant galaxy yet known, or maybe the second most distant, and we discovered this particular galaxy. Its light has been traveling 13.3 billion years to reach us and the Hubble telescope. So we're looking back in time 13.3 billion years, back 97% of the way back to the Big Bang. And so it's as if we were looking at a picture of ourselves when we were just 1 or 2 years old. So we're really observing the distant universe, and there have been a few such discoveries recently.
Yeah, when this one was discovered, it was called the most distant.
Right.
And then a couple weeks later, it was downgraded to second most distant when somebody found something else that they think is even farther away.
That's right. And so you almost ask, well, so what? There's a more distant galaxy every couple of months. And I think that's exactly the point, though, is that there have been so many of these discoveries. Previously, there was only one galaxy known within the first 500 million years of the universe. And with this new CLASH program, we've discovered two more. And it was actually a mystery before. There was only this one galaxy, and we'd expected to find six in the ultra-deep field and in other deep fields. That could have suggested that maybe galaxies were just starting to form then, that they hadn't yet built up in numbers, and we were really seeing the first galaxies. But now with this CLASH program, we've discovered two more. We're discovering them more in the numbers we expect at these early times. And so that suggests that there will be many more galaxies yet to be discovered with future observations. But there are still some uncertainties, and we really need more observations to be sure one way or the other. And so one of the things that this program will do is discover more of these most distant galaxies. And we're really pushing Hubble to the limit. These most distant galaxies that have been found so far are about as far as we can see with the Hubble telescope. Over the 13.3 billion years or so that the light has traveled to the Earth, its light has been redshifted to the point that it's almost invisible to Hubble now. We're observing it at the reddest wavelengths visible to the Hubble telescope, and we really need to observe it at redder wavelengths in order to discover galaxies that are more distant. Right now, there's the Spitzer Space Telescope that observes at redder wavelengths, but it's a bit smaller telescope, and so the images aren't as crisp, don't have as much detail. So the James Webb Space Telescope.
What you're waiting for in 2018.
We're very excited. And so that will give us Hubble quality imaging at even redder wavelengths. And at the wavelengths we observe now, the images will be even sharper. So that will discover the first galaxies. And so we're very excited about that.
Dan Coe with the Space Telescope Science Institute. I talked with him in January of 2013. If you want to get involved in watching the night sky in the Baltimore area, there are a couple good options.
A lot of people I talk to in Baltimore don't even realize that the Space Telescope Science Institute is right here in Baltimore, and we run a lot of the Hubble telescope's operations. And you're welcome to come down and visit, particularly the first Tuesday of every month. We have public lectures. Also, Friday nights, you can come visit the telescope at the Johns Hopkins University right across the street. And when the weather is nice, you can come and use the telescope there, and they'll give you a guided tour of the night sky.
The next public lecture is scheduled for tomorrow, March 4th at 8 p.m. The telescope is open to the public every Friday evening, weather permitting. You're listening to Maryland Morning with Sheila Cast. I'm Nathan Sterner. Stay with us.